Thank you, Charity, for that song, and thank you for that opening. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Please turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the Spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. And this morning, the main thought that we want to consider is walking in the Spirit. Now, there's a lot of great truths in these verses that we read, but we're just going to kind of skip across a few of the highlights as we consider walking in the Spirit. And three key things that we're going to consider about walking in the Spirit are, one is to be spiritually minded, and Christ in us, and then being led by the Spirit. And firstly, when we talk about walking by the Spirit, we just want to say that if we want to walk by the Spirit, we must be born again. We must be born again. We must have the Lord Jesus Christ living in us. When we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, He gives us the comfort. He gives us His Holy Spirit to live in us. And it's only possible then to walk in the Spirit when we have the Holy Spirit living in us. And last week, the verse was mentioned about being under the influence of alcohol or being under the influence and control of the Holy Spirit. And when we're under that influence and control of the Holy Spirit, we're walking in the Spirit. So if we could look at verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ. And so the whole context of what we're looking at is for someone who is in Christ Jesus. And if we could look now at verses 6 and 7. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. And so there's this contrast between being carnally minded and being spiritually minded. And so we want to ask the question, well, what does it look like to be spiritually minded? What does it look like to be walking in the Spirit? And according to Colossians chapter 3, a walking in the Spirit looks like tender mercy. Walking in the Spirit looks like kindness, and humbleness of mind and meekness and patience. Walking in the Spirit looks like forbearing one another. And if anyone has a quarrel against one, that they're to forgive them, even as Christ has forgiven you. And above all these things, it says that walking in the Spirit, when we walk in the Spirit, we let the peace of God rule in our hearts, by which we are called. And it goes on to say that walking in the Spirit, if we want to walk in the Spirit, we are to let the Word of Christ not just dwell in us, but to dwell in us richly in all wisdom. It says that we're to be teaching and admonishing one another in spiritual songs and singing and hymns and singing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. And that whatever we do, whether it's in word or deed, that we do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So that's what it is to be spiritually minded. To be carnally minded, it says, is death. And Romans tells us a little bit later on in the book that we're to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh, make no provision to be carnally minded. And so the question is, do I bring along supplies with me, so to speak, to feed the flesh, or to serve sin? Do I feed on the talk of others' failures? Do I see over something that someone has said to me and it really rubbed me the wrong way? And what we need to do is we need to put to death those carnal thoughts, and we need to be thinking on heavenly things. We can't be entertaining thoughts that don't honor the Lord if we want to be a walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, if we want to be spiritually minded, we need to be winning the battle of our minds. And for that, there's a verse that I had to memorize in youth group when I was, I guess, in youth group. But it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and it says, casting down imaginations, casting down every vain thought, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. The wrong thoughts about God, we need to bring them, arrest them, bring them into captivity. The wrong thoughts about others, whether it's feelings of anger or feelings of lust or any sort of wrong feeling of another, we need to capture that and bring that thought captive to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard someone say recently, no one loves me. Is that true? I mean, we've been loved with an everlasting love. The Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. So we need to speak truth to ourselves. If we ask the Lord to give us the victory in the battle of the mind, He would be pleased to give us that victory. We can pray as the psalmist prayed, Lord, keep me from the snares. And we can pray, God forbid that I would dwell on this evil thought, or God forbid that I would think this sort of thing. And we can ask the Lord to help us to think on what sort of things are true, and what sort of things are honest and just and lovely, and have a good report. We can ask the Lord to help us think on these things and then choose to think on them, to take captive those carnal thoughts and to think on spiritual things, to think what sort of things are good and true and just and holy and pure. Think on these things. One thing about our thoughts is, after we think the same thing for a while, eventually we have habitual thinking. And once we have habitual thinking for a while, it leads to actions. And so we need to ask, is the end game of this thought, is this going to lead to something that brings glory to God? And my mom always said to us, you have to nip it in the bud, you have to nip it in the bud. And so wrong thinking, we have to nip it in the bud. Because a bud flowers, and the flower can bring forth what? Weed seeds. Or, as godly thinking goes, it can go from a bud to a flower to something fruitful. And when we're walking in the Spirit, then we have the fruit of the Spirit in our lives. A few weeks ago, we had a leaky roof. And the water wasn't coming into the upstairs of our house, as you would expect in a leaky roof. It was actually sneaking in some other way, and it was dripping down into our kitchen, right on the kitchen table, and along another wall in the kitchen. So this was a sneaky leak. But most of the roof was functioning as it should. And it only leaked when it rained. But I just can't leave a leaky roof, right? That just doesn't go over well. A little bit of water can do a lot of damage. When there's water damage, the mold starts to grow, and the structural integrity of the house can be weakened. And having a leaky roof is a bit like having a leaky thought life. We need to take every thought captive to the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. The psalmist wrote, "Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you." If you look at verse 10, it says, "And if Christ be in you," Christ be in you. And I think this is such a key to walking in the Spirit. Christ be in you. Many years ago, there was a popular acronym, WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? And the idea was that, what would Jesus do? Well, I need to copy Jesus. I need to imitate Jesus. And it almost had the sense of, when Christ is external to me, and I need to copy everything that he does. And when we try to copy and imitate and do all these sorts of things, eventually we find ourselves doing the things that we shouldn't do and not doing the things that we should do. And we kind of throw our hands up like the Apostle Paul and say, "Well, oh wretched man that I am, who is able to deliver me from this body of death?" But then he comes to chapter 8 and says, well, to this chapter, Christ, if Christ be in you. And so for every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, Christ is dwelling in you. I was speaking to someone a few weeks ago, and their daughter was just doing this, it was quite effortlessly. They were doing this step dancing thing from heel to toe and toe to heel, and it wasn't a distraction to the conversation, but they just were able to, it was just flowing really well for them. And well, how does someone do that with such perfect rhythm? How are they able to do that? Well, rhythm was on this person's inside, and this rhythm was living them, flowing from their head to their feet and coming out in their actions. And it was kind of neat. But if that girl had asked me, "Well, why don't you try?" Well, the rhythm's just not living in me. It's just not going to my feet. It'd be kind of awkward, and it'd be a real disaster. But likewise, when Christ lives in us, he will come out in our actions. And what does the Bible say in Galatians chapter 2? It says, "I am crucified with Christ. Therefore, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in this body, by the faith in the Son of God, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So it's a completely different perspective what would Jesus do? No, Christ lives in me. And when Christ lives in me, it can flow out of me and the actions and the words that I speak and the actions that I do. And certainly I fail many times, but that can be the aspiration of our hearts, that Christ lives in me and he's in control out of my life. And the Bible's full of different times of looking at things as though from the true perspective that Christ indwells every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." It says, when someone is obedient to the gospel call, Jesus says that we will come into him and make our abode in him. The Lord Jesus, he says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and be with me." So the Lord Jesus Christ indwells every believer in the Lord Jesus. So So walking in the Spirit is more, it's not just an imitation of what we do with Jesus, but it's actually Christ living in us. If you could look at verse 14. Verse 14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God," they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God. And being led by the Spirit of God, it often defies human logic, especially in sharing the gospel. There's many stories about sharing the gospel, but there's just one quick one. Years ago, a girl wanted to give a Bible to their neighbor. Now, their neighbor wasn't exactly, a middle class, clean type of person that you would expect you might get the Bible to, but their neighbor was someone that smoked like a chain smoker, and yet, you know what, the Lord laid it on their heart to give this Bible to this neighbor man, and eventually this man gets saved. Being led of the Spirit may go against our human reasoning on many different occasions. In practical everyday life, and I'll just give you one example. So soon after Lazarus was born, a mother from our church called, and she had two young boys that wanted to make us a loaf of bread, another one wanted us to make us a casserole meal. And now these boys weren't even teenagers yet, but they wanted to make a meal and some bread for us. And just to put this into context, so Rachel, she's not just the master homemaker, she wouldn't just be the top of the class, she'd be the professor of the class, at the top of the class. So in our first year of marriage, she made curtains for our house, she made tablecloths, she made these little puffy hearts, lots of them in a basket on the table. She was gardening. She made cloth diapers before Lazarus was born. So she's doing all these wonderful things. She stenciled between the ceiling and the wall where that meets, she stenciled a lovely thing in our bedroom. So she's just a fantastic. And we'll come to in the kitchen, and she's just a fabulous in the kitchen. But she made her own bread, and she just didn't actually make her own bread. She actually ground the grain into flour to make her own bread. So she was the pinnacle of the homemaking mom. And so we get a phone call, and this mother, she has these two boys, and they want to make us a loaf of bread and give us a meal. And so the mother, in her own understanding, can say, "Well, I think Mrs. Schultz has it figured out. It's okay." Nice thought, pat on the back, maybe some other time. But she didn't. She was sensitive to the Lord's leading. And by the way, we did have, Rachel made lots of meals in the freezer before Lazarus was born. But there had come a time when those freezer meals had run out, and the up at nights with baby had taken its toll, and then we get this phone call. And so the Lord used these two young boys to be a blessing to a master homemaker with a loaf of bread and a casserole. And so sometimes being led of the Spirit goes against our own understanding of the situation. Another time, we received a call from a couple who wanted to bring us over some beef. And in your own human reason, you think, well, they're farmers. I think they grow their own food, don't they? We were actually buying our beef, usually ground beef, from the grocery store. And someone blessed us with many meals worth of beef, and it was just a blessing. And again, so the point is, being sensitive to the leading of the Lord sometimes goes against our own understanding of the situation. When the Lord wants to bless someone with a meal, how is he going to do that? Well, Christ lives in us. He might want to use us to be that blessing, to provide that meal for that person. And I think it's important that we don't let our human reasoning interfere with the leading of the Spirit of the Lord. So when the Lord wants to encourage someone, and maybe they're an extrovert, how is he going to do that? Well, Christ lives in you. Christ lives in us. He might use us to speak a word in season to someone that is weary. When the Lord wants to give someone a hug, how is he going to do that? Well, Christ lives in us. He might use us to give that person a hug. When the Lord wants to give a mother a break for a few hours, how is he going to do that? Well, Christ lives in us. He might want to use us to give that mama a break. When the Lord wants to get a married couple a ton away, how is he going to do that? What Christ does in us, he might use us to give that married couple the time together that they need. And so being led of the Spirit sometimes just, it defies our own human understanding, it might defy our human logic, but we can be sensitive to the leading of the Lord. And I'll just close with this one last illustration. We've been boiling a lot of sap around our house, and yesterday we were boiling some sap. And the water vapor rises into the air, and it's gone. It appears for a very little while, just a very short time. The Bible says our life is like a vapor. It's short, it's here for a time, and then vanishes away. And we only have one short life to offer Jesus, our Lord and our King. Now, the longer that sap is exposed to the heat, and the longer it boils down, the longer this whole process continues, the sweeter that water vapor smells. And Zadok, he loves to be, there was a nice breeze yesterday, he said, loves to be just a bit downwind. And so all this water vapor is blowing into his face, and he's just breathing it in. And I asked if I could use his name, he said I could use it once. He's breathing it in. But it's this sweet smelling water vapor. And likewise, when we live with the present reality of Christ Jesus living in us, when we're walking in the Spirit, when we're walking in the Spirit, when Christ is living in us, there's a sweet aroma for those around us in our life, which is but a vapor. And so may the Lord help us this week, this day, and the days to come to be a spiritually minded, winning the battles of our minds. And may the Lord help us to live in the present reality of Christ living in us. And may the Lord help us not to lean on our own understanding, but to be led of his Spirit. Amen.